Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for bringing us together. We ask for your Holy Spirit, that he would be with us as we open your word to, again, study your glory, the glory of your salvation, the glory of your providence, the glory of your saving, loving kindness, your glorious chesed. We thank you that you are a covenant God that keeps your promises. We ask just for your, the illumination of your scriptures, Lord, that we might again be reminded how you save us and how we might live to glorify you in our daily life by through obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we finished up last time book 119, or Psalm 119, which is the Torah Psalm, remember. And then we dipped our toe into the water in the Psalm of Ascent. We looked at Psalm 126, which was very directly related to exiles coming out of Babylon. And so it's part of the Psalms of Ascent. So it again reminds us that the entire Psalms were arranged by an Ezra-type figure after the exiles returned to the Promised Land. And so, again, remember, Psalm 118 was the Messianic Psalm. Psalm 119 in the arrangement is the Torah Psalm. And it leads us into the final exaltation of Yahweh. And so they begin with the Psalms of Ascent. And it's in a poetic pyramid. And again, just look at the beauty of the arrangement without even delving into the Psalms itself. This is leading up to the final glorious hallelujah pyramid at the end. And by the way, everybody's got this handout, right? That's what I'm going off from. You can see the pyramids on your handout. And so this Psalms of Ascent is used by the pilgrims as they go up to Jerusalem, to the temple on Mount Zion, to the house of the great king, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. And they are there to celebrate his name. And that's going to become very important as we examine the Psalms of Ascent, the name of Yahweh. And we'll get to that, but that's your introduction. So that's a little foot stomper there of the name of Yahweh on the people is very important in these Psalms of Ascent. But look at the arrangement. There are 15 Psalms in the Psalms of Ascent, and the pinnacle doesn't get us to Jerusalem. It's just the pinnacle of the poems or the poetic pyramid. Okay, so we're going to continue ascending all the way through. But this is the Hebrew arrangement, and look at the beauty of it. There are seven psalms on each side, seven the number of perfection. Okay, and there are two Davidic psalms on each side. All right. And the name of Yahweh appears 24 times on each side of the heptade. A heptade is seven, the arrangement of seven. Hep is seven, okay? So the name of Yahweh appears 24 times on each side of the heptade. Now, how many tribes are in the 12, okay? So 24 times on each side of the heptide, a total of 48. So the 12 tribes are blessed with Yahweh's name twice on each side of the pyramid. A double blessing, which is important. Okay? It's not just one blessing, it's a double blessing. All right? So again, just the beauty of the arrangement. So, we'll begin with Psalm 120. And we have the pilgrims proceeding to Jerusalem. The pilgrims are all over the near Middle East, okay? And they have to assemble in Jerusalem three times. We talked about that, remember? At Passover, and then the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Penta 5. And I said, I made an erroneous statement. It's not 5 weeks, it's 50 days. It's the 50th day. Penta is the 50th day, or the end of 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49 days. And so at the end of that, on the 50th day, is Pentecost. So Passover, okay, is, and then there are 7 weeks, okay, and so Pentecost is on the Sunday after the seventh Sabbath, okay, and that was Pentecost. That's when they gathered at the temple. It was the end of the barley harvest. The beginning of the barley harvest was Passover. The end of the barley harvest, the bringing in of the sheaves, was Pentecost. And then the final time they assembled in Jerusalem was in the fall at the grape harvest, the Feast of Booths, when they would build booths, huts, houses, out of natural material to live in Jerusalem, symbolizing living in the land under Yahweh's rule, okay, the new Jerusalem, so to speak, okay? So the pyramids are proceeding to Jerusalem and marching, in a sense, through these Psalms of Ascent by this arranger of the Psalms. So Psalm 120, a song of ascent. And the pilgrims are proceeding from a far-off land. They're homesick people who are more than ready to proceed on a joyful upward journey to the city of Yahweh. And I brought some pictures, okay, and they're ascending into the Judean hills. Now, this is a present-day picture of Jerusalem from the north, okay, and this is a Muslim building. This is the Dome of the Rock. That's where the temple was, okay, and it's in the temple complex, that upside-down shoebox, okay, the big plaza where all the pilgrims would gather. But they're marching up into the Judean hills. So you can see it's basically rolling hills of about 3,000 feet in elevation, okay? So it's not to a mountaintop per se, it's up into the hills. You're ascending up to Jerusalem. Does everybody get an idea of what the terrain looks like? Okay, and then finally, remember, there are 15 Psalms of Ascent. And we had a question on where those steps were, because there are 15 steps to the temple. Now, this is the apex of templedom. This is the temple complex that Herod built. This is a model at the Jewish Museum in Jerusalem. Okay, and you can see here's the plaza. This is the royal stoa. This is the bank of the temple. And this is the temple complex itself. Does everybody see that? Okay. And then I'm going to show you a close-up of the temple complex. This is what Herod built on the plaza for the Jewish people to gather in. Okay. And the steps we're talking about are these 15 steps right here. Okay. Do you see them? All right. As they ascend. Now, inside this temple building is the Holy of Holies. This is the court of the priests around the temple complex, and they're ascending to this doorway. Okay? The priests are only ones allowed in the courts of the priests, and this is where the sacrifices took place. The bronze lavers and all that, where they slaughtered the animals, were surrounding this building. They don't show those, but these are the 15 steps, okay? So it's thought that possibly they would also recite the Psalms, not only on the way to Jerusalem, but as they went up these 15 steps, okay?
But actually, Todd, when they get to the top, they can't go in because they're not priests.
Right, correct, okay, correct. So Psalm 120, The pilgrims are proceeding from a far-off land. They're homesick people who are more than ready to proceed on a joyful upward journey to the city of Yahweh. Now, verses 1 through 4 talks about them living amongst lying neighbors, and they're ready to be delivered from that chaos of lies, the chaos of deceit. They're leaving their neighbors who are living in, who are the goyim, okay? They're not going to Jerusalem, and they live a life of lies. They don't recognize Yahweh. Yeah. So the song of the Psalms of Ascent, the first four verses. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Yahweh, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Deliver me from these liars. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. So eventually they're going to get it. Okay, they're going to come under judgment. But that's what these pilgrims are leaving. Okay, and verses 5 through 7, just to comment, one more comment on verses 1 through 4. The pilgrim is one who has grown dissatisfied with where he or she has been and is on the way to something better. Verses 5 through 7, the pilgrim dwells amongst hostile heathen neighbors. Okay, and the psalmist writes, woe is me that I dwell in Meshesh, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now, Meshesh is all the way to the north, up in Turkey, okay? It was present-day Turkey, or Asia Minor in those days, okay? Meshech is a tribe which dwelled in the far north in Asia Minor, and it's mentioned, there's all these ancient historians that talk about the tribe of Meshech. All right, and they dwelt in Turkey. The tents of Kedar. Kedar was a tribe descended from Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of Hagar. Hagar was the maid of Sarah that Sarah gave to Abraham to try to get the promised son. Obviously, it wasn't God's idea. It was a human idea. It was Sarah's idea. So Ishmael was not the promised son. Hagar was an Egyptian, was of Egyptian extraction. And when she escaped Sarah's wrath, she escaped back to Egypt. And that's probably where Ishmael went. Ishmael's sons, one of his sons was Kedar. And Kedar was a wild Arab tribe that dwelt down in the Egyptian area, probably in the Sinai. Okay, so you have the far north, Meshech, and Kedar, the far south. Kedar is the son of Ishmael. All right? He fathered a wild Arab tribe in the desert south. These pilgrims are proceeding or fleeing heathen godless neighbors from the far north and the far south. So again, the psalmist writes, verse 5, woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, or shalom, okay? But when I speak, they are for war. They're against me. And I'm fleeing my daily existence with these liars, and their lies bring chaos. And I'm going to Jerusalem, to the house of Yahweh, who is all about order, righteousness, shalom. And I'm escaping that. I seek the King of Shalom, the King of Glory. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. Here the pilgrims have their first glimpse of the Judean highlands. The Judean highlands is a spine of mountains that goes north-south in a north-south direction, okay? And it's very prominent as you approach from all points of the compass that you're proceeding into the highlands up to Jerusalem, which is not the highest on the highest mountain. Mount Zion isn't the highest mountain in the Judean highlands. That's actually in Hebron, okay? But it's the highlands. They're ascending up into the Judean highlands. Okay, and it's there. So Psalm 121 talks about the first glimpse of the Judean highlands. where the city of Yahweh, the city of peace, remember Jerusalem, Salem is peace. Okay, Shalom, Salem is peace. So they're on the way to the city of peace, where Yahweh dwells. And the psalm exudes the pilgrims and the psalmist's tranquil spirit of trust in Yahweh. So how does the psalmist begin? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Sounds like the Sound of Music, doesn't it? Okay. Remember the nun, the mother nun recited this psalm to Maria when she was trying to escape. Okay. So the psalmist begins, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. So the psalmist, the pilgrim, is longing to arrive in the sheepfold of the great shepherd king, Yahweh. He's escaping the chaos. He's going to the city of peace up in the hills. And Yahweh keeps his people safe and secure in Shalom, in the city of Shalom. Verses 3 and 4. He is Yahweh, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. What's a shepherd? A shepherd is the keeper of the sheep. Okay? So he's going to the city of the great shepherd king. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. So the shepherd, the great shepherd king, is a vigilant watchman. He doesn't slumber or sleep. Verses 5 and 6. Yahweh is your keeper. The Lord, Yahweh, is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So Yahweh is a keeping shepherd who shades or shelters his flock from the perils of the day, burning sun and heat, and the perils of night, attacks from the beast of prey. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve, and another word for preserve is keep. Okay? So we can say the Lord shall keep you from all evil. He shall keep your soul. The Yahweh shall keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So Yahweh is our keeping shepherd. He preserves us from evil always, from this time forth and forevermore. So I underlined keep and preserve in my psalm because this is the keeping shepherd psalm. Okay, and that's where the psalmist and the pilgrims are escaping to the city of the great shepherd king, the keeper. Now, we talked about they're going to the city of the great king to be blessed with Yahweh's name as they arrive. What do they get? What do they receive when they arrive to Jerusalem? They are blessed by the priests, because they're now at the house of Yahweh. What is one of the famous blessings of the priest, the benediction of the priest? The Aaronic blessing. We all know it, don't we? The Lord bless you and keep you. Do you see that in this psalm? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. We're going to see grace in these psalms. Okay? The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you shalom. We're going to see all that echoed through these psalms. Here we have the keeping psalm. The Lord bless you and keep you. Other questions, comments? Psalm 122. This is the first Davidic psalm. A song of ascent of David. So In Psalm 121, the pilgrim was ascending into the highlands, or at least the highlands were in sight. Here, the pilgrim is standing in the city gates of Jerusalem. He's not at the temple, but he's in the city gates. Okay? And the psalmist, David, writes, okay, and this was selected by this Ezra character as a ranger. He plucks this Davidic psalm and places it in the Psalms of Ascents for the pilgrims to rejoice, because David writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of Yahweh.'" What's that? The temple. Okay. "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." So the pilgrim is standing in the city gates of Jerusalem. And then verses 3 and 4, he talks about Jerusalem as David's capital. Okay, it's always unified the nation of God's people, Israel, and it's the place where all the tribes were together three times a year to give thanks to Yahweh. So the psalmist writes, David writes in verses 3 and 4, "Jerusalem, the city of peace, is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of Yahweh, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of Yahweh." The name of Yahweh. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention the Aaronic blessing. Let's look at that. Let's turn to Numbers 6, verse 24 to 27. That's where the Aaronic blessing is found. But it gives the whole reason for the Aaronic blessing. And that's very important. Numbers 6, verse 24 to 27. Now the blessing is from verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you. Are everybody there with me? The Lord bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. And the reason for it is verse 27. "So they," the priests, "shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So they're going to have the name of Yahweh put upon them. That's the whole reason for the pilgrimage, and the whole reason to be blessed by the priests as they enter the temple. Okay? And the name of Yahweh is going to be put upon them. So, again, the pilgrims have arrived at Jerusalem, David's capital, okay, and the place where they're gathering, okay, because they want to have the name of the Lord, the name of Yahweh, put upon them. Verse 5, it's Jerusalem is the seat of justice, where the king, David and his sons, and Yahweh, the great king, reside. Yahweh resides at the temple. David and his follow-on sons reside in the palace. Okay, verse 5. "For the thrones are set there for judgments, the thrones of the house of David." Or another way to say that is David and his descendants. Okay? And notice it's multiple thrones. It's the throne of God, but it's also the throne of David, where David judges the people. He rules the people. But it's also the throne of Yahweh who's judging, who's reigning over his people. Okay? Verses 6 through 9, Jerusalem is described as the city of peace, the city of shalom. It's the center of shalom. Verse 6 through 8, "Pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Shalom be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, shalom be within you. Because the house of Yahweh our God, I will seek your good." So the psalmist David is seeking peace in the city and in with the congregation. Shalom, peace, order. Okay. And why? for Yahweh's sake, verse 9, that's the why, okay? For Yahweh's name, because of the house of the Lord our God, because of the temple, because that's where Yahweh resides. We need to seek good and righteousness, which brings peace, shalom. So that's kind of the journey from the hinterlands to the hills of Judea to the gates of Jerusalem as you enter the city of peace. Now, Psalm 123 through Psalm 132, that's not exactly symmetrical. I'm going to put my marker. All these psalms that we're going to go through right now are a collection of psalms that reflect on the grace of Yahweh and the blessings of Yahweh that being in the presence of Yahweh is granted to His people. When you're in the presence of Yahweh, you're impacted by His grace, His unmerited favor, and by the fact that you're blessed with shalom by being in the presence of Yahweh. Because He's righteous, and somehow He makes you righteous. Okay? So Psalm 123 through 132. And again, the whole point of the pilgrimage is to arrive at the city of Yahweh to receive the priestly blessing, to have the name of Yahweh set upon them, so that they will be blessed by Yahweh through His grace. Psalm 123 is a psalm for the eyes. I underlined eyes in this psalm. It's a psalm for the eyes because Yahweh is a sight for sore eyes, literally, is what it's trying to convey. Because you're leaving the chaos and you're going to the peace to be in the presence of Yahweh. It's a song of ascent. Verse 123, unto you, you being Yahweh, I will lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to Yahweh our God until He has mercy or grace upon us. The whole reason they're going on this pilgrimage, isn't it? So they can look up and gaze, figuratively, at Yahweh, where they're going to have His name put upon them. And He's such a sight for sore eyes. In verse 2, what happens to the eyes of a servant who looks on the hand of his master, or to the eyes of a maid looks to the hand of her mistress? To receive orders and to receive provisions from their master. Okay? That's what a servant gains by being from their master. They get instruction and they get provision. Verse 3 and 4. The pilgrim pleads for grace or mercy, unmerited favor. Verse 3, have mercy or grace on us, O Yahweh. Have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Where does the contempt come from? Both inner, the contempt for their own sin, but also the contempt of having to live with sinners. They want to be with Yahweh, the granter of peace, okay? And they're pleading for that mercy, that grace, that chesed from the covenant-keeping God, the God of shalom. Verse 4, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. In other words, we want to escape the scorn, the chaos of those we left in Kedar, in the north, the south, everywhere else. We're coming here for peace. So we're looking, we're gazing upward. Unto you I lift up mine eyes. Questions, comments. Psalm 124. A song of ascent of David, a Davidic psalm. And this is the if psalm. The psalmist is, David's asking, if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? That's the question that David poses in the first two verses. He says, if, in verse 1, and if, in verse 2. David writes, if it had not been Yahweh who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been Yahweh who was on our side when men rose up against us. So David leads off his psalm with a question, and he poses it twice. It's the same question, isn't it? If Yahweh was not on our side. And this really, it's a Davidic psalm put here by Ezra, but it could be also the refrain of the exiles after they escaped exile in Babylon. If God wasn't there to deliver us, we wouldn't be back here. Okay? So we have the if question in verses 1 and 2. In verse 3 and 4, it's the then statements, okay? If Yahweh were not on our side in verses 1 and 2, then in verses 3, 4, and 5, then chaos would overwhelm us. Okay? Verse 3, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. David is a shepherd. And one of the greatest things he could rescue a sheep from was a flash flood. What does water bring in the Jewish mind? Chaos. If the God of Shalom wasn't for us, we'd be in chaos. We'd be attacked by our enemies all the time. And what does an enemy bring? Our lying enemies brings chaos, brings misery. Verse 6. What's another way to say, blessed be Yahweh? Hallelujah. Praise to Yahweh, or blessed be Yahweh, who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. So the second half of the psalm celebrates and thanks Yahweh for his deliverance. And again, it could be a refrain from the exiles, as well as a refrain of David. David probably wrote this psalm after the death of Saul and Jonathan, and after David was under the king, the new King David was under the threat of capture by Philistine armies, and was delivered. That's the thinking of when this psalm was written. But it can apply to any pilgrim, and it can apply to the exiles as well. Okay. So the second half of the psalm celebrates and thanks Yahweh for his deliverance, for the escape. And what's the response? Thanks, Yahweh, be blessed, hallelujah. That's the biblical way of thinking. If Yahweh had not been on my side, then I would utterly have perished. Therefore, I will praise him. Thanks be to Yahweh.
And the text.
Right. Yep. Yep. Psalm 125. This psalm speaks of the security that believers have in Yahweh, even when they're oppressed by evildoers. Verse 1 compares the security of those who trust in Yahweh to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is bedrock. It's high and secure, and it cannot be moved. Psalm 125, the Song of Ascent. Those who trust in Yahweh are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. So as the mountains surround Mount Zion, so Yahweh surrounds his people to protect them. Think of in 2 Kings 6, when Elisha was under attack and his servants were all afraid, Elisha prayed for the eyes of his servants to be opened. And when he prayed that, his servants looked around and they saw the army of the hosts of the Lord, the angels, there protecting them. Okay? And that's how the Jewish people, as they're ascending into the Judean hills, look at the hills as protection of Mount Zion. Okay? In the same, that kind of thinking. Verse 3 fits the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay? Jews are returning to the land, but the land is dominated by foreign powers, especially Persia at the time of the exiles. Persia was Babylon, okay? Also smaller powers like Samaria, the Ammonites, and Philistines, okay? All of those enemies look to hinder and impede the exiles' work as they come back to rebuild the temple under Nehemiah, okay? But verse 3 says, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity." Okay? And what's in the mind of the exiles as the return to the land is the promise that wicked powers will not rule Israel forever. There's a prayer for Yahweh to be gracious to his people, and a warning that those who are amongst the people who are not righteous will be banished to chaos. Okay? So the promise is in verse 3. The promise that wicked powers will not rule Israel forever. "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Let the righteous reach out their unless the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity." The prayer is verse 4. The prayer is for Yahweh to be gracious to his people. "Do good, O Yahweh, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts." Now, their understanding is they're made righteous by Yahweh. They're not good, but they're made righteous by the righteous king. Okay? And then 5 is the warning that those who are amongst the people who are not righteous will be banished out of the city, back to the chaos. "As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, Yahweh shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity." So if you don't look to Yahweh, he's going to banish you again, send you back out into the world, so to speak. And the final one is a prayer for blessing. Shalom to Israel. Peace or shalom be upon Israel. So verse 3 is the promise. Verse 4 is the prayer. Verse 5 is the warning, and finally, the blessing. Shalom to Israel. Finally, the last one we'll go over is Psalm 126, and this is what we ended with last time, so come full circle, okay? Here is the joy of exiles set free. Verse 1 talks about the remarkable joy of people delivered from exile in Babylon. "When the Yahweh brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream." Verse 2 talks about their abundant joy, that even the Gentiles, even the Babylonians, marvel that Yahweh has done great things for them. "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they, the Babylonians, said among the nations, Yahweh has done great things for them. In verse 3 is the antiphonal response of God's people to his deliverance. They repeat that. Yahweh has done great things for us. So they're agreeing with the Babylonians. Yes, Yahweh's delivered us. He's done great things for us. And we are glad. And then the key verse is verse 4. The sober reality that rebuilding Jerusalem and Israel is going to be hard work. And it stopped and started several times. The psalmist prays for Yahweh to restore and uplift the hearts of his people yet again. They want his blessing to come like a flash flood in the desert, in the Negev. Okay? To revive his people. Because they're going to rebuild in stops and starts. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And so they're saying, we've been released from captivity to the Babylonians. Restore our captivity to you. We want to be your captives. And give us the energy to rebuild, like a flash flood stream in the Negev, in the south.
The Negev is dry.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing.
Okay, and then finally, verse 5 and 6, the psalmist prophesies a time of joy following the hard work and waiting on Yahweh. Yahweh, who gives us the work to do, will also send the harvest. It's that trust, that faith. Verse 5 and 6, those who sow in tears, it's going to be hard work, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Because he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So it's going to be hard work, but our work will be blessed by Yahweh, and there'll be a harvest of a new temple, of a new Jerusalem. It's time to quit. Questions, comments. We made it halfway. That was my goal. So we finished it maybe a couple minutes after. It's 19 after. Questions, comments? So next week we'll go over the pinnacle psalm of the pyramid, not the pinnacle psalm of the psalm. Well, it's the pinnacle psalm of the poetic pyramid. Okay? Psalm 127. It's actually a solemnic psalm written by Solomon, the builder of the temple. Well, if there are no questions, let's ask for God's blessing and thank him. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the illumination you've given us. We ask that it would be tucked into our hearts that we might again and again return to it as a lamp to our feet as we walk as exiles, really, waiting for the new Jerusalem. And may we be obedient servants. May we be captives to your will. Bless us now as we go from here and assemble with the saints to worship you and hear your word and your gospel preached and proclaimed. Father, we thank you that you're the great saving God, the great King. Help us to enjoy your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.